Thank you so much for singing. Thank you for being here. We'll get into the Bible here in just a moment. We're going to look at James, chapter number 3. We'll continue on in James. But before we start, I did want to tell you that this Sunday, we have a great opportunity. You're always able to do it, but on the fifth Sunday of the month, or the months that have five Sundays, I should say, we receive an others offering, and that just simply is, you can just mark it on the, there's a giving envelope in front of you, and some of you have them also, or you can give online as well. But we put an emphasis on the fifth Sunday, the months that have a fifth Sunday for others, and it's just like the name would imply, and that is just for folks inside of our church usually that are having a difficult time for one reason or another, and we're able to do that privately, and we don't make a big deal about it. We just come along and are able to help them with something need. We have other benevolence needs. We take care of those things through one of the line items on the budget. Brother Daniel handles most of those, but the others offering is just something that we're able to come alongside our church family when they're in need sometimes. And so you say, well, how do we know that it gets where it needs to go? It's a very tight little group, and I usually oversee that and just share it with Bert and let him know so we can kind of keep it private. And I appreciate the trust that's entrusted to me to help that. And so that's this Sunday will be an others offering, and hopefully you can take part of that. Maybe just add a little bit, and it will help somebody out. And we're certainly glad for that. I was thinking about the video that we got to see about the Haleys over in Botswana. Of course, you know, just to keep in contact with who this is, these are the missionaries, Miss Summer Scrogg. When she's done with deputation, she'll be going over there. Lord willing, that's the plan at this point, and she feels like that's where the Lord's leading her to go help with them. And they always have something going on. There are just a lot happening within that ministry. Wonderful missionaries have been faithful for so many years. And I was watching that those baptisms, and of course, a couple things. I like to talk to the deacons about getting a baptistry like that somewhere here at the church. I thought we could use it for other reasons through this week. And then, the thing I thought for real is that I'm glad that we get to support somebody like that has so many people following Christ and believers' baptism. What a blessing to see that many folks that have identified with Christ and want to take their stand for the Lord. And you never know, every one of those people would have had a story. And some of those, it was no easy decision just to get baptized because some families were telling them not to, and they were having to make a decision between following the Lord or staying true to my family. And so I'm just excited about that, and excited about our Faith Promise missions that all of us get to be a part of. And as we look forward to this fall, we'll have a missions revival, and we'll be able to take part again in missions for another year. And so it's just exciting to get to see what God is doing in our missions giving. So while we're looking at James chapter 3, we're going to look at the first 12 verses over in these next few moments here, if God would give us his help in that. We're going to look at the tongue, something that everybody has trouble with. We all, almost all of us, get ourselves in trouble with it. And I'm reminded of a story. Somebody was learning English. He was coming to his language teacher and said, this English language is just so vague-y. And he said, what? He said, yeah, it's just so vague-y. He said, I just don't like it. And he said, what are you talking about? Finally, he knew that he was trying to say vague, V-A-G-U-E. He said, well, no, you don't pronounce the U-E, it's just vague. He says, oh, okay. He said, there's lots of words like that. He said, it's like the tongue, which is what we're talking about tonight. He said, I always think about how much trouble you have with your tongue, U-E. He said, well, no, it's not tongue-y, it's not vague-y, it's just tongue. Leave the U-E off of it, just let it be silent. He said, then vague, just leave the U-E off, let it be silent about it. And he was really getting on to him. He said, well, okay, let's not argue about it then. He said, let's not argue about it then. So you understand, it's Wednesday night, folks. You don't get a Sunday morning joke on Wednesday night. I mean, I'm telling you, come back Sunday, we'll get you something worth coming for. So let's look at our tongue. Here's where I want us to do. Everybody in this room needs to get James 3, 1 through 12 put into your life, because I have yet to meet the human that doesn't get themselves in trouble with their mouth. Maybe somebody who has the deformity that can't speak, but then they find other ways. We always find a way somehow to get ourselves in trouble. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. You understand that means perfect or complete. and also able to bridle the whole body. If you can get that tongue settled down, you're on your way to getting that whole body tamed. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire of a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of the birds and of the serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Amazing, we're able to tame almost anything. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So I want to preach for a little while on this subject. Faith controls the tongue. Now, if you happen to be the one that's in here and you'd say, Brother Herdman, I don't have any problem with that tongue of mine. Well, I would love to meet you in the lobby afterwards because you are, as I mentioned already, the first person I've ever met that doesn't have problems with it. If you wouldn't mind, we'd like for the whole audience to just get to stand and you stand there and you shake hands with everybody as we go out because I know they'd be interested in meeting you too. Now, you may not be the big blabbermouth that tells everything they know. That might not be what the tongue gets you. You might be that silent one, that quiet one, rather, not silent, but that quiet one that waits for a time like a snake that's poised to strike. You may be that one that doesn't say anything that's not true, but boy, do you like to tell those juicy true stories about people that you're in your family. Your tongue gets us in trouble, and I want us to look at it tonight because I believe every one of us has a need for this lesson and this Bible passage, one of the most straightforward passages in the Scriptures that I trust to be a blessing to us. Father, be with us now. Give us these next moments to better us, to make us more like your Son. Help us, oh dear Lord, with our tongue. In Jesus' name, amen. We see in verse number 1, the teaching tongue. This is just my little outline that we put on here, verses 1 and 2. The teaching tongue, my brethren, be not many masters, meaning don't be a lot of teachers. There are a lot of folks out in this world right now. All you have to do is look on the internet, look on television. If you still find some religious broadcasters on there or somewhere else, there's lots of people who use that tongue to spew out things or put out things, and some of them are excellent, and some of them are not. But just because they're not excellent doesn't mean that a broadcaster kept them from going on the air or that they got forbidden from putting their posts online. Actually, they all get out there. So that's what I believe this scripture is talking about. My brethren, be not many masters. Don't be a lot of teachers, knowing that we shall receive this greater condemnation. There's a great responsibility when you teach, thus saith the word of God. This is what God wants us to do. And so we ought to be careful. All of our friends and our co-workers and our family members, we need to be sure that we're projecting the right message of the word of God. We ought not to go haphazard off of what it says. There's a lot of teachers or preachers that are just simply giving a motivational speech, yet their title is teaching pastor or pastor of a large gathering. But I'm telling you, there's a great responsibility on these people. They shall receive the greater condemnation. I want you to look in verse number 2, though. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, this is that talking about that person. Boy, if you're able to harness that tongue. Have you ever done something that's been so hard, you knew you made the decision yourself? If I could do that, then I could do almost anything. Not in life, but just in the rest. If I don't know if you do this or not. Usually when I've got some projects going on, I like to do the hardest thing first. That way after that, you can kind of look back and say, well, if I can do that, then I can do this. I got that out of the way. So, you know, it's like the old thing. I've got good news and bad news. And the person said, well, which do you like to hear? And you've got to decide, well, I want one or the other. many people want to get the bad news. Get that out of the way. And that's similar what the Word of God is saying here. If any man offend not in word, if you can keep that tongue in line, boy, those hands will be no big job to you. That those feet won't run to evil. If you can keep that tongue from getting you in trouble, then as the tongue goes, though, goes the body. Because we understand that that's that quick. People talk about being a silver tongue or a this. It means they're a smooth talker. Somebody talks about that quick tongue, that they're fast to come back with a comeback over something somebody else says. I'm telling you that as our tongue goes, boy, our body will go the same way. As the tongue goes, so does the body. I see the teaching tongue, but I want you to look in verses number 3, 4, and 5. This little member is causing us more problems than all your other members. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, and we see the illustration there for the bits for horses. And you ever ridden horses, you know they've got that bridle, and the bridle before the reins are hooked to the bottom of that bit so that you can control that horse. Depending on which way you've got them trained, you pull this rein or you pull them this way, whichever they're as you've got them trained to go. But that little bit, control that huge, big old beast of a horse. And it goes on to say, not only do you have that, but we have also in verse number 4, the illustration of the helm. And that would even, nowadays, you'd say that'd be the steering wheel. Probably back in the little ships that would have been there, it would have just been the rudder back in the back, would have had a handle more on it, but like a shape of an oar. But we have that illustration of the helm. And so God's trying to drive it in a couple times on us. Hey, listen, you got this bit, it controls a big horse. You got this little rudder or this helm, it controls a ship there. And God says, your little tongue, controls the rest of your body. You've all heard stories or statements about that your mouth is writing checks that your body can't cash. Well, we usually speak of that when you sign up for a big project. Yeah, I'll help on that work day, or I'll get up on that roof, or I'll do this. And your body says, nuh-uh, you might have thought that was a great idea, but I'm vetoing. Well, we know that our little tongue gets our body into a lot of messes. And so not always is it that you signed up for more than your body can perform. But if you're like me, you can almost see those words come out. And here you are. Please come back. And you're trying to bring those words back. And sometimes you know it as soon as you say it. Sometimes you know it before you say it, but you're just so mad, you go ahead and let her rip. But that little member gets you in so much trouble. And so God says in this passage here, He says, we put the bits in. We've got the rudders or the helm that goes wherever the governor or the master of the ship listeth, wherever it is. Even so, just in that same manner, verse 5, that tongue's a little bitty member. But you'd think it was the biggest member you got for as much trouble as it gets you in. That little pinky finger hardly ever gets you in any trouble. Maybe these thumbs when you text somebody something you shouldn't, I guess. But it's almost like saying something to them. That arm don't get you in too much trouble. But boy, that little tongue, it gets you in a lot of trouble. Even so is the tongue a little member, and it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You got a little matchbook? And that matchbook has the potential to burn this whole building down. You say, not that one little match. Oh, that one little match. You strike that match and you've got some paper, some cardboard, some things there. You just strategically strike that match and put it down there, put it over by some drapes that are going up the wall. And then that catches some other things on fire. And before you know it, that whole building is engulfed in flames from one little match. And I don't have all the illustrations that I need for you, because all of our lives would be different. But you can just look back, if you'd take a moment and say, I remember when I struck a match. It wasn't a little matchbook, but it was the matchbook of my tongue. Boy, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. I am talking to the right crowd, right? How many of you wish you could pull back some words? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. We sure do. And we see, though, that this little tongue, it strikes such a big potential flame. And I think that's why the scripture goes on to say it's set on fire of hell, but we see how little, how great a matter a little old fire can kindle. So we see that little tongue. But then he goes on from that little tongue that's like a matchbook that can light a whole building on fire. Then we go to see this burning tongue. God doesn't beat around the bush as normally he doesn't anyways. But as the tongue, and the tongue is a fire. He says that little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity, just in case you thought, oh no, my words are always nice. Well, a lot of them might be, but not all of them. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire of hell. It's a fire of iniquity the Bible talks about. And so we understand God's not saying that none of your words are good. You've hopefully used your mouth for good this day. Can I challenge you just as a little time out right here just to tell you, since we all know we have this problem, everybody has the problem of the tongue, right? Yes, okay. So since we all know we have this problem, I want to give you a little exercise. Since you know you already have the propensity to light a big fire with that little match, why don't you tonight and tomorrow and the next day, the rest of your life for that matter, but why don't you purposely find a way in an appropriate fashion to use your mouth, your tongue, for something good when you go to school tomorrow, or you go to work tomorrow, or you go to your neighbor's house tomorrow, or you stay around the house of your own spouse tomorrow. You say, well, they already know how I feel. I don't have to give all that stuff. I'm not saying you have to be all mushy and all that, although that's fine too, I guess. But you ought to use your mouth. Do you know, think with me about this. Why is it so much easier to nitpick something that somebody's doing than it is to compliment something they're doing? Me and Paul Pritchard, we'll talk back here after church tonight. We'll say, well, shame so-and-so isn't here tonight. Did you see what so-and-so drove in? Did you see what he was wearing? We wouldn't talk about the ladies like that, but ladies, that's what you all do. Well, did you see what she was wearing? Wonder why she thought that hairdo was good. But did you ever notice that it gets, and I'm not even joking here, that it gets a little awkward to dish out compliments? Isn't that a strange thing? It's almost like we can voice our disappointments so much easier than we can voice our compliments about somebody. One of the deacons talked to me right back there after the revival and was giving compliments about the services and about having those people in. And that was such a blessing to me because it lets you know that some things are going good. You say, well, do you need pats on the back? Well, I like to think I don't. My pastor says that you shouldn't give a whole lot of credit or a lot of value to compliments or criticism, because compliments get your head puffed up and criticism bring you down so low that you can't function. So you've really got to take both of those in stride. But why is it that we find it easier to talk about somebody in a negative way than we find it to talk good about them? And then if that's easy for you to talk good about somebody to someone, that's a little easier. And here's what's really hard is to be looking at that person in the face and say, I want you to know I appreciate this about you. It's like we stutter all over ourselves. I don't know if it's pride. I really don't. I don't know if it's pride. I don't know if it's just awkward. But here's the assignment. Tonight, if you get a chance, you may be going home, you won't get to see anybody else tonight. I don't know. But tonight, tomorrow, try to take some little mental inventory. How many times am I complimenting? How many times am I criticizing? I think I'm going to be shocked at how many times I'm criticizing or not saying something complimentary. And everything can't be complimentary. I mean, your job might be, you're a quality control expert. That doesn't mean that you have to say the bad things. I get that, but I'm not talking about those kind of things. I'm just talking about, especially your brothers and sisters in Christ, we see, though, that we have this tendency to want to be negative. And I guess that's found in verse number 6. It's the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. As I said, you get very little trouble out of that big toe of yours. It just stays down there and helps you stay balanced. And a cousin of mine, he was in a motorcycle accident and the whole big toe got ripped off and he had to go through therapy to learn how to walk again. That big toe does more than you think it does. But it's always helping you. It's helping you stay straight. But that tongue, not so much. Gets you in trouble every time, seems like. So it's set on fire of hell. It's a fire of iniquity. And then in verse number 7 and 8, we see that it's easier. We're very proud of ourselves about taming something. Dad used to break horses and things, and you know, you just take a beast that doesn't want to be broke at all, doesn't want to be ridden, doesn't want to have a bridle, doesn't want to have a saddle, doesn't want to have any of that. And so your goal is to get that horse so that a little kid could get up on there and just easily, back to the bits and the bridles, just easily lead that horse around. Well, we brag about being able to tame animals, and that's good, I suppose. But we see in verse number 7, every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and things in the sea is tamed. But verse number 8, the tongue can no man tame. It's easier to tame beasts than it is to tame our tongues. Now, let me think about this, or think about this with me. If we had a poisonous snake in the house. Well, I wouldn't, just so you know. But if some reason I took temporary insanity and I bought one, or got one in on a trade or whatever, I don't know, I wouldn't have it. But say I did. You know where that thing would be? Well, it would be, again, it wouldn't be there, so this is not realistic at all. But it'd be in some kind of glass cage so that nobody could get in there. You say, what about feeding it? I wouldn't feed it for long because I just let it take nature take care of itself. But I'm saying if you had a poisonous animal, you would take every precaution to make sure that it didn't get somebody you loved, wouldn't you? Sure you would. If you say, well, it's a good snake. Well, I have my belief on which ones are the good ones, but I don't want to say that. You say, oh, no, this one wouldn't do that. Well, let's say you didn't know that. You would take every precaution to keep it away from the people you love. But you know, the Bible teaches that our tongue is more dangerous than that. And we just seem to let it flop around everywhere. Don't we? Well, I thought it, I might as well say it. Haven't you heard that one before? Of course, that's completely unbiblical, but that's what we say. Well, I thought it, I might as well say it. It's no worse. Yeah, it's a lot worse. Nobody's ever got hit in the mouth for somebody thinking something. A lot of people got hit in the mouth because they said something. But the Bible teaches that that tongue, literally set on fire of hell, it's a dangerous thing. And we would give more precaution over a poisonous snake than we do that tongue, that we already know it causes problems. And so it's easier to tame those beasts. But I just challenge you to lay that burning tongue to help, let God help you, I should say. And then number 4, the double tongue. Verse number 9, therefore bless we God. Blessings and cursings in verse 9 and 10. We bless God. We say, oh Lord, thank you so much. And then we talk bad about a church member who God created. And in their case, that one right there, God not only created them, God saved them, and God's working in their life. Maybe Marty's got some things that he struggles with that I don't struggle with. I struggle with some things he don't struggle with, but I don't want to pick on the things that I struggle with. I only want to pick on the things that I don't struggle with, so I let my tongue speak against him, and I'm not. I'm just using him as an example. I bless God. God, you've been so good to me. Thank you for all you've done. And I curse his servant. We're a fickle bunch, my mamma would say. We're back and forth. We vacillate from side to side. You can't count on us. So blessings and cursings. And then in verse 11 and 12, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter. We see the bitter and sweet water. A fountain from nature knows that it can only deliver one kind of water. I used to live up Green's Run and up outside of Wellsburg, which is just above Wheeling, West Virginia. That's where I was born, in Wheeling. And so up past our house, there's a little pipe that came out of the side of the hill, and it was back to a spring that they had dug out some, and that thing would almost always run, and people would be there all the time with gallon jugs just filling it up because it was good, clean water. And so that spring put forth tasty water. Well, there's some springs that don't put forth tasty water. But unless something happens in the environment, it's going to deliver the same water tomorrow that it delivered yesterday. It can't do both. Oh, so it's 7 to 5, we deliver this kind of water. And then after 5, we deliver something. No, it delivers all the same kind of water all the time. And that's what our goal should be in our lives. We ought to be those ones that let our tongue that not give blessings and cursings. I'll just give blessings as we go throughout our lives. So, according to this passage, you've got a mighty powerful weapon if you choose to use it that way. It's right there behind those teeth of yours. And the scripture teaches that it's so powerful, it puts it in the realm of the bridle that's, or the bit that's turning that beast of an old Clydesdale horse that could just crush somebody with that big old hoof of theirs. God says, we turn that horse around. God says, we turn that boat around. And that little tongue of yours, it'll turn that body around. It'll get you in bad waters or good waters. And I'm challenging you tonight to take inventory tomorrow. And if you need to write it down, fine. If you can keep it all up here, that's fine too. But I'm serious here. I challenge you to keep inventory tomorrow. How much is my tongue being a blessing to the people that I interact with? I'm afraid we'll be surprised, because the scripture says that it's all in this faith passage, this faith book. Because you remember, James is this great book about letting your faith go to work. Well, one of the things that if your faith is active, one of the things that your faith is going to work on is that little member right in there. If we have faith enough to ask God, trust God, and believe God to help me make that tongue a blessing, not a cursing to the people around me. Father, bless us now is our prayer. And Lord, I pray for each person in the room tonight that we have learned from your word how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Lord Jesus, please help us tonight, tomorrow, to use our tongue for that which might glorify you. And folks, while we're just thinking this evening, let me use my tongue to say something that I know glorifies the Lord. If you're here tonight, can I use my tongue to tell you the most blessed story that has ever been told? If you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, then Jesus Christ came to this earth, died on the cross, was buried, rose again for you. There's no greater story that a tongue could tell than this one, and that is that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And if you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved, you know you're a sinner, you've lived with yourself all your life, you know you do wrong. Heaven help us, all of us have got, we could list things for days, things that we've done wrong. And those sins have come up before God. And the Bible says he can't look on that sin. And so therefore, a person, when they come to their time to die, because of those sins, they're not worthy to go into heaven. But Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, for me, for all mankind. And that if you would ask Christ to forgive you of your sins, you would put your belief and trust in him, that he is the Savior, then you too could be assured of a home in heaven, not because of this church, not because of anything you've done, but because of what Jesus Christ did. I've just used my tongue to tell you the most important story ever told, and I pray that if you're here and you're not sure you're saved, that tonight you would look by faith to Jesus Christ, believe on him as the only Son of God, the Savior of the mankind. And if you're here and you're saved, I challenge you to take the challenge with me. Let's take inventory tomorrow. Is your tongue used for good? How long has it been since your wife has lived with a man that used his tongue for more good stuff and to speak more right than wrong? How long has it been since your husband's heard your tongue used to praise the Lord and to give glory to God, and to speak good about how much you've been blessed together, then he's heard you say bad? Listen, folks, if we're not saying those four-letter words that we pretty much put on our banned list, those are banned, if we're not saying those four-letter words and a few other phrases and things, we're good. Well, we could never say those things that are socially unacceptable. We could never use those words, but still use our mouth, our tongue to cut people down. My friend, let's have faith enough to let our tongues glorify the Lord. Bless us, please, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies play through? If God's speaking your heart, I invite you to come. The altar is open for you. You're welcome to come and pray. If you're here tonight, not sure that you're saved, my friend, please, would you believe on Jesus Christ alone as your Savior? The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. He did all of that for you and for me. And then if you know the gospel, you're saved. How's that device, that piece of you, whatever it is, that the Bible says is it's a little member? Boy, oh boy, how great a fire that thing can strike up, that can light. Some of us, we haven't said a nice word to our spouse in a couple of days. You say, that's just the way I am, Brother John. But I believe we've seen tonight that our tongue ought to get used to glorify the Lord. Thank you. May look this way. Well, what a joy to be in God's house tonight. I was talking with Kyle before the service. He's downstairs with the youth, or they may be over in the Family Life Center by now. But I told him, I said, well, I want Wednesday nights just to be somewhere that we look forward to coming to. And I hope that it is. I know that everybody's busy, whether you work, whether you're done working, whether all that. I know that if you're not careful, you just get tired toward the end of the day. But I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being in church, just for making it a part of your evening, because I believe that the Lord blesses and gives you things that maybe you don't even know you need right now tonight, but He stores some up back there. So when you do need it, it's there. And then if you've got children, they're up in the Ridge Kids, or they're down in Patch, or they're down with the Ridge Point, then they certainly need to be down there and up there and learning the Word of God. So thank you for making this part of it. Thank you for being in church tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.